Oh, okay. Hi, Lynn. I'm still confused on where I might find the discussion y'all had on my thyroid lab
Right.
from the mini
So
PT.
basically, we didn't have it on the call itself. I did it, I taped it afterwards. And it's
Okay.
going on the thyroid assessment page, which is, I think as of the other day, it was completed. I just had to do a final run through. But it will be not one that you get until you get to that. Like you're supposed to go through them in order. But I will see if Lynn can open that up for you since yours was done on there.
Okay, that would
Can you
be
do
great.
that, Lynn? Would you be able to jump her ahead? And I think I explained it to you on the call also, was that if I did that, then
I'll
you will get a message when you get there that says,
see what I
hey,
can do.
thyroid
Yeah,
assessment.
no, I. Okay.
Okay,
there's Lynn. Okay, and so just a moment of celebration for you guys and all of us that I spoke with, Zwack. Remember John Zwack, the really sick guy
Oh, yeah.
yesterday? And I think, really because my confidence was raised through that discussion, I was able to speak with more authority and conviction. And,
Nice.
he's still going to go to Mayo. I reached out to Dr. Tom O'Brien's people from the gluten certification thing. And I said, is there somebody that's in our fold at Mayo that can help possibly with mystery gluten illnesses? And it was Gina, I think, got right back to me. And she said, I forwarded this request to Tom and his assistants. So that's, I'm just holding out for that.
You never know who's connected to who.
Right.
Excuse me.
And then for today, Dr. Rita Marie, I just got this blood work from a new client. Her name is Vicky. And most notably, I was wondering, and I'll let me just open that. She started working with me because she was coded as pre-diabetic from the Kaiser system. And of course, they were just letting her ride and not
Right.
doing anything preventatively. But anyway, we kind of fought to get the test results that you'll see there on the lab page, there on the master tracker.
Okay.
The glucose, I was very happy with that. This was a random glucose at 9:30 in the morning after she'd had a nice breakfast that we've been working on.
Yeah.
I'm most interested in your thoughts really about the alkaline phosphate. Her D3 is horribly low at 11, and her iron, her ferritin, is really high. I called her this morning and I said, do you cover up when you're outside in the sun? And she's outside every day and she doesn't use any sunscreen and she doesn't cover up. So I'm thinking there's some genetic component there.
Yeah.
And that we can address, right? Except she doesn't like to take supplements, but we'll work on that. But the ferritin at 225, I asked her, if she used a cast iron pan. She's not eating a lot of organ meat or anything. So I was just starting to dig into that this morning to try to understand why the ferritin might be so high.
Okay, so there's a lot of reasons for that. Yeah, I'm looking at this. I'm looking for her serum iron. The biggest issue that I see, that mistakes that people make when they're ordering tests, is they'll order one or the other, but not both. So they'll get the iron, but not the ferritin, and they'll get the ferritin and not the iron. But enough people have ordered both that we start to see that there's some weird ass patterns. Let me just tell you. Because what you'd expect is if the ferritin is high, it's because the iron's high. And it's all being stored as ferritin. Or if the ferritin is low, you're going to expect that you're on the way to anyway a low iron. If you wouldn't expect to see a high iron, you might see a normal iron or a low iron. But what we
Okay.
see a lot of is skewed results, like high iron but low ferritin. That says to me, oh, the process that stores the excess iron as ferritin is broken, right? Then we might see a low iron and a high ferritin. And it's like, whoa, the process that pulls the iron out of the stores and pulls it into the blood when the iron gets low is broken. So without both, it's hard to tell which when it is. But I will say that high ferritin, it's associated with a couple of things. One, it could be inherited disease, hemochromatosis, mm-hmm. right, that she's on her way there. And that we'd want to see a full workup, the percent saturation. You want to see the iron itself. You want to look at her MCVs. Let me just see that real quick. Yeah, her MCV is fine. It doesn't look like an iron deficiency, certainly. We have, but though, if you look, her hemoglobin is 13.7, so it's right at the low end of the ideal range. Oh, and but her hematocrit, it's easier if you just leave these blank. Just don't put anything in there when, like when you when it's male, right? I would not put NA because it makes it just at a glance, it makes it look like there's a problem there.
Okay,
so I would just leave it out.
Yeah.
And that way it's just a blank, you know, we know it's blank. It's just not there. But she doesn't have a female hematocrit. So we don't know what that is. 13.7, higher red blood cells. So again, we talked hemochromatosis. There's also, erythro... Why am I drawing a blank? It's the equivalent one when the red blood cells are high and there is an inherited. Now, 4.67, that's not in a range where you'd go, oh, this person needs a full workup because, you know, if she had a 7, I'd be like, whoa, that's, you know, that's a problem situation. So this is borderline. It could be just she's a little bit dehydrated and whatnot. So I just watch that. But the iron, without knowing the whole thing, it's a problem. So her previous hemoglobin A1C was 5.96. So, you know, you're doing a good job to keep her blood sugars down. If you did a random one and it was good. Why is this showing? Yeah.
I think you're talking polycythemia.
Polycythemia. Thank you. Excuse me. I'll just leave that out. Yeah, I think you had a dot or an apostrophe in there. So if ever a cell turns a color and you don't think it should, like 83 should be perfectly fine, and it turned an orange color, I'd look back and see if I coded it wrong or did something screwy.
So I did that just for me to realize that I made a note at the top that it was reported as a random glucose. If you see that, 3G. But yeah, I can do that for our collective reviews.
Oh, okay. I see. You did it for yourself. Well, this is, I didn't change your copy of it, so you can do it however you want to.
Oh, it's no problem. Yeah, it's good. Yeah. Okay.
Is it like a sheet? I'm just going to take a glance through some other things to see what might be going on that expresses. I would think liver issues when there's a high ferritin, and it's an inflammatory marker when it's high. So if there's a lot of inflammation in the body, we sometimes get high ferritins. But I'm looking at her liver enzymes, and they're all, you know, well within the optimal range. So alkaline phosphatase is even low. That's often a sign of zinc deficiency. So I'd be looking at zinc. Zinc and vitamin C, important things to look at.
So she's going in, so I requested the full CBC and thyroid just to get a benchmark on the thyroid, and the physician's assistant said she wouldn't run those, but she would run these.
She wouldn't run them because I'm uneducated, sorry.
But Vicky is seeing the doctor on Friday and is going to request the additional lab. So
what we have here for thyroid?
Yeah, she hasn't ever, I don't think she even had her TSH done, did she?
Right. This is weird, though. I would look to see if you missed putting in the hematocrit, because that's really rare for them not to run hematocrit.
And what's that abbreviated as?
HGT.
Okay, it's 42.1.
Okay, good.
Percent, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
So that's in the standard range, isn't it?
So there's no real signs of anemia. Her RDW is a little bit high, which could be that there's a lot of variation in the sizes of her blood cells, but there's really nothing that supports that high or low ferritin. So if you can get them to run a serum iron so that you can compare it, then we kind of get a functional view. This is something that I've only really recently started to look at and observe over the last couple of years. And I really think that iron ferritin becomes a functional, that pair becomes a functional marker for something. We're not exactly sure what. We found some indication that when the iron is high and the ferritin is low, that it's a low melatonin sometimes because it requires melatonin to take the iron and convert it to a different state and then store it. And then there's some liver stuff that might be going on in the other, and there's just not a lot of literature on it, but it definitely gives us an idea that there's something screwy functionally going on. So you certainly want to get this person's vitamin D up.
She sleeps like a log.
Good.
So,
and as far as thyroid, let's look at what you've actually got for thyroid. You didn't get anything. So we don't know anything except that she's had a consistently normal TSH, which doesn't mean a thing. Does she have any thyroid signs, symptoms, cold?
She really doesn't. I think a lot of her issues are not, number one, eating enough and gluten and dairy.
Okay.
You know,
I wouldn't even bother at this point trying to get them to do a thyroid thing, because what you really want to do is address those eating habits, her vitamin D, and her gut if she's eating gluten and dairy.
Yeah.
Okay. And her adrenals, because look here.
Yes. Yeah. The adrenals.
Yeah. These markers are definitely indication of adrenal distress.
So her mother has had multiple cancers. I'm forgetting which one's right this second. And the dad does have diabetes.
So. Yeah, I think you're going to do best to work on her stress levels, vitamin D, definitely work on the stress levels for the adrenals. I wouldn't even bother with doing a test yet until you can get her diet stable, get her blood sugar consistently stable, get her gut, you know, working properly, get her to calm down, because she's a hyper probably, right? She's and that's probably what you're going to see. So there's no reason to spend her money on more testing at this point. No.
Other than it's Kaiser and she's not built for the.
Well, if they'll do it, it's one thing, but.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think you're going to do anything specifically different to address thyroid, because what are my steps? Like if you go to the thyroid balancing step-by-step booklet, that's at the end of the thyroid consumer program, module five. What do I tell you to do first, right? Get their foundations balanced, get their gut working.
Right. Yes.
De-stressing stuff. So not even having that information makes you think you have to do something about it. So say you did find a T4 to T3. All right. You might put her on selenium, but you know what else it could be? It could be just the stress.
Yeah.
The leaky gut. So I would say it's not worth it. I would fight my battles later. So work with her and see where she gets to. And then if she's still having issues, she's not overweight. She sounds like she's underweight.
No, she is overweight. Maybe 30
pounds. Overweight.
Yeah, and constipation is the recurring. She swings both ways, but constipation is the more.
Okay, and we think about constipation as being a large intestine issue, but it's not always, right? It could be a brain issue. Constipation is oftentimes the first sign of Parkinson's disease. It could be a liver issue.
Yeah.
Dry constipation, and you know some herbs that you can do. So you can maybe create some kind of really nice ritual for her with some herbal tea that's balanced for her, maybe some essential oils in it, whatever else you like to do with that she creates a ritual of just taking 5 minutes to drink her tea, do her breathing. The herbs will help her, and then get the gut working and get the liver, you know, optimized. You can do all of that with food.
Yeah.
And with herbs. So I think sometimes we jump too far in, and I love the testing just like anybody, and I teach it and I thrive on it, but I don't like to just jump in and spend people's money on testing, because a lot of times when people have unlimited funds, so they'll just run all the tests. Then we run all the tests and it gets overwhelming, because you think now, oh, well, are you addressing this piece and this piece and this piece and this piece? And the next thing you know, there's 75 supplements that they're taking.
So I guess I got confused, because I thought you at one point suggested getting a baseline thyroid.
Yeah, it's good, right? But it's not worth the fight, right? Because if they do it now, right, and you do all this work on her and you want to see where it's at in 3 months, that chance they're going to do it again. You know what I mean?
Sure. They did
it once. Oh, no, we don't have to do it again in 3 months. I'd rather fight the battle then. I'd rather get this foundational stuff in. Think about it. What kind of things would be possibly going on with her thyroid based on her the rest of her life? And all the adrenals can be whacking out her thyroid receptors, can be interfering with T4 to T3 conversion. So let's support that stuff. Sure, get her to eat some Brazil nuts every day, right? That and the de-stress. And you might want to look at, like, maybe she has a beta carotene to vitamin A imbalance, right? Simple things like that, like a simple vitamin A to take with her D.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like going with the simple stuff that, like, what would be the most common things I'd see out of balance here? And let's just address it, because half the time we don't, half the time what we see is that people get better on areas that you didn't even address because you address the foundations.
Sure.
And like here, if she had had, now I would be telling you something different, Cynthia, if I saw that TSH was a 4.5.
Okay.
And I'd be telling you something different.
Right.
Right? But it's within the optimal range. They're right. Going to fight you on it. You might go back and forth and they still don't give you everything you want. I'd wait and get this foundational stuff in, and maybe in 2 to 3 months you can talk to her about it if you still see that that's not moving. Sure, constipation can be definitely related to thyroid. But I think most thyroid is diagnosed and then treated with thyroid medication when it's really could be addressed with all these lifestyle things to take the stress off and the load off. So if she's still on gluten, don't worry about what her thyroid numbers are. Just get her off gluten.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
I mean.
Yes, yes, yes. Good. Okay.
Right?
Perfect. Yes. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Does that help?
I was shocked with the D levels.
Yeah, that's low, and she's out in the sun a lot. So you explain to her, look, we can spend more money and get another test done, and we can do that. Maybe down the road we want to. But right now I'm going to assume you have some genetic stuff, and there's a bunch of different, very common, very, in the population, a high percentage of people have these vitamin D receptor issues.
Yeah.
And it's also related to gut stuff, right?
Right.
So it has to do with, the levels of sulforaphane, the levels of microbes, the microbiome can all affect that vitamin D.
Right.
Also,
yes.
Liver, right. Kidney, right? Where do we activate the vitamin D? Where do we, convert the cholecalciferol or whatever D, whatever the precursor is, to the active? It's all done liver and kidney.
Oh, beautiful. And, the gut, I was selling sauerkraut. At a farmer's
Oh, nice. There you go. Your fermentation is like your best lead gen ever.
It really is. So for Friday and her doctor, you would just get a serum iron is all that you would suggest?
I would do a repeat hemoglobin A1C just to see if it's better.
Yeah, she told me this morning, we have an actual call this afternoon. She says now she's afraid to eat anything. And I said, well, let's spend our time on that.
because she's a hypervigilant, right? Probably has GADs and MAOs and maybe some COMTs and some of those other things in her genetics.
Yes.
Oh, no, I'm afraid. The fear. And so just letting her go, look, the fear isn't there. Here's what you can eat. Do this for 30 days. Give her the 30-day metabolic reset and say, just do this for 30 days. It's plenty to eat.
Yeah.
Don't eat anything off of it.
So can I give her the 30-day metabolic reset? How does that – I need to make it my own, right?
You can actually – I think – let me see if that's actually in there. But you could create your own chart. I think that's in – look on the page on the IRSPT module in that section to see if it's one of the done for yous.
Okay.
As long as you don't, so here's the deal with my stuff. You can use my stuff. If it's stuff you can't just give people my recipe books because I charge people money for that. And that's, that wouldn't be right. But you can, the different handouts that we've given you, you can do it. And we always ask if you're either, modifying it or making it your own, that you put with permission and you put my footer on it. But if you give her my chart, that metabolic reset at a glance chart, not the whole thing, I'm not talking the whole book, you can do that. The other thing you can do with any of your clients is you can sign up as an affiliate, and then you can have them purchase the Sweet Spot Solution kit, either digital for, I think it's like $99, or physical for $149, I don't remember what. But you can just have them purchase that.
Okay.
And you get an affiliate commission on it. You can also have them purchase the metabolic reset, what do we call it? The metabolic reset kit product.
Okay.
Okay. And then it's like $99 or $100. It's low priced, right? Okay. And they can purchase that, and then you can guide them through it.
Awesome. Okay. Okay. Yeah. She's retired and very exploratory in the kitchen. So, yeah. So
you want to get in that book then? Hey, don't worry about it. Here's 250 pages of things you can eat.
Right. My ideal client, I don't have to teach them how to cook.
Oh yeah. Recommend she get the book.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Okay. You can find it on my site. And if you're not signed up as an affiliate, just go to the site, say sign up as an affiliate. And then when you do it, give her your affiliate link and it tells you how to do that. If you have any trouble, just call us. Don't call me.
Are you? I'm not calling you. Okay. Awesome.
I know how to do it, but I can't deal with that.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. And before we leave her with her, cholesterol, that little pattern, would you check any of that again?
Okay, let me go back. I wasn't looking too carefully at that.
Oh, you were right there. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, she's not. She doesn't have it. So she had high cholesterol before. What are you going to do differently? Here's all the question you ask, right? When you get an information back, you see that she had high cholesterol and high triglycerides before, right?
Yeah. And you know what her response was?
What?
She starved herself. Was how she got her cholesterol numbers down.
Down. Yeah. So I would put her on a 30-day metabolic reset. I would do all the stuff that we just talked about and then have her recheck that maybe when you recheck the thyroid in 3 months.
Okay. And the D.
And the D. Well, the D, I think you should be getting her on. With that level, I'd get her on 20,000. And if she's willing to get it tested again, and even if she has to pay out of pocket, you can order a kit online. I would have her do that again in 6 weeks. And if it's not enough, then you bump it up. If it's too much, then you bump it down.
That's so, Dr. Marie, here's what I'm dealing with there. Some chiropractor told her a few years ago, never high dose vitamin D. So.
What did you base that on?
Yeah, he said the latest studies. So, you know, I can know. Refer her to some current studies.
Yeah, you know, I would. Mercola has a lot of that stuff on his site, and people don't always think of Mercola as the best source, but he researches stuff. He knows what he's talking about. He's still recommending people get it up there. I would go looking. I would go find some stuff that you can send her.
Yeah, I will. I will.
11.
Do that.
I mean, come on, that's way too low. So if she's not willing to do high dose. I don't know what she's going to consider high dose, but get her on 5,000, but then test her in 4 weeks and tell her that's mandatory that move up or she cannot be healthy. And that might be related to a liver thing, you know, because it's all activated in the liver.
Right.
It could be related just like the ferritin being high, the low D could be related to that as well.
And her constipation.
Sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's her big thing is the prediabetes and the constipation. So that's absolutely where my leverage is right now. So
that's
okay.
The leverage. Yeah. And that'll help everything. So get her to go as high as she will, right? If she won't go for 20, okay, 10.
Sure.
She won't go for 10, go for 5. But then you say, look, I have to test you sooner because this might not be enough if you don't have the right receptors. And if she has something, always let people know. You know, when somebody tells you something, ask them for some stuff you can read to back it up if it seems controversial.
Sure. I think it's a travesty that in 13 years with Kaiser, she's never been tested of her D. So.
Oh, man, that's crazy.
It is crazy.
But
so.
It's typical. It's very typical. Yeah. All right.
But it's opening up a healthy dialogue with her mother, who is a very, very sick woman. So. Finding out what the mama knows about her D level. So anyway, okay, we can move on. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And, you know, thinking about the mom, helping her to see and just having our mom make some minor dietary changes and supplement changes. I mean, you want to look at her zinc because her zinc is looking low as well with that alkfos. So, and that would affect her digestion.
Yeah, right.
And her blood sugar.
Right, yes.
And her gut motility. I mean,
so I started on looking at the A module, vitamin A. Can we test for A?
Yeah, you can. You can test for A.
Is just a serum?
Serum test works. Yep.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Okay, cool. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you, Cynthia.
Yes.
Okay, so stop share. And I don't know who 858 is. Is that Chet? Who's on 858?
Hello.
Hello, who's that on 858?
Hey, this is Isabel.
Hi, oh, hi, Isabel. Okay, cool.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm actually in Seattle on vacation. But
oh, nice. So good you joined us. I was going to go. Chet didn't come on, but I told her I would run it. She said she was going to try to get on. So I think I'm going to, let's see, it's 1:30. I want to make sure I save enough time to go through her spectrascale. I think it'll be interesting for everybody. But, you know, I'll give her another 15 minutes or so, and then if not, I'll do her spectroscale. So who has something? Questions, comments, anything?
Yeah, yeah. I do have a question.
Huh?
Oh, okay. So I have this one client that he's been with me for 3 months, but he's been, things have been kind of like a roller coaster, right? So he feels better for a week, and then he feels bad for 2 weeks, and feels bad, good for a week and two, and he travels a lot. And it's almost like he feels better when he's traveling and he's not thinking about what's going on with his health. So he's kind of like, he's not working. He's trying to find work. So so he said it's not stressful, but I'm thinking, you know, it's a little bit of stress. And so he's in his head a lot and thinking about how he feels. A lot of times it's busyness, fogginess, that it comes and then it goes. So it's pretty frustrating to be like on this roller coaster ride, and definitely has got issues. We're still working with that, working with Candida. And so at this point, I think, you know, the question is, how do I get him out of this roller coaster ride, or what is it I'm missing or I'm not looking at?
Yeah. So, so when I look at that and I see him traveling and all that, how consistent is he with diet? Is he off of sugar, off of gluten, off of the...
Yeah, he is, yeah. And when he's traveling, he's trying the best he can. He's trying the best he can to, you know, get gluten-free and dairy-free. And at home, he cooks all his meals as gluten-free, dairy-free, no sugar. So diet's been changed a lot. Sleep is pretty good. And the issue is energy. Like he's sometimes feeling very fatigued, and for a couple of days. So so for a couple of days he feels like really good. He thinks, okay, I'm things are going to be good from now on. And this last incident was he was at home. He wasn't being exposed to anything, and then he the fatigue came on. And along with some digestive issues. And then it lasted for 3 to 4 days that since we last talked, he was getting better, but it was just like it came out of nowhere.
And when you say it was digestive issues, what kind of digestive issue?
Stomach cramps, gas. He used to have diarrhea, more diarrhea, but now diarrhea seems to be under control. So that part is better. So he feels like stomach rumbling, and then maybe have maybe a little bit more looser stool. So when we first started working, diarrhea was more of a problem, but now the digestive system seems like a less of a problem, more of like a fatigue and energy issue.
So I would have him be doing a detailed diet journal.
Okay, he does. Yeah.
So that, do you see any patterns to when he has the symptoms come up to something different, unusual in either the diet, the stress level, the exposure, anything?
So He eats pretty much the same at home, but just when he goes out, I'm thinking there is a delayed food sensitivity response. Could be. And then, and from what he said, like, he almost feels better when he's not at home. So maybe he's too much into his head.
It could be, but I would really be like, sit down with it. See if you can get him to do a nice week-long journal and make sure that it, if it doesn't cover a day that he feels bad, if he has a week of solid, then have him keep going. And just, you want to see what's leading up to those days. Like, what is it that, what's the exposure? Does he have a job interview and then he gets, you know, all bent out of shape? Is he out and eating at a certain restaurant that he thinks is safe but may not be? Does he have another kind of food allergy sensitivity that is not, you know, it's not the typical, the gluten, dairy. You've got them off gluten, dairy, the top six, the gluten, dairy, corn, soya, peanuts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All the top six. Okay. Yeah. Or all. Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So all he's been keeping journal for the last like 2 months. So I looked at it. There's sometimes there's vinaigrette, but he changed to apple cider vinegar. I told him that maybe his diet is still too complex. I mean, it's a lot of veggies and fruit and, well, a little bit of fruit, just one serving a day because he's dealing with candida. And he is still on animal protein, but quality source of animal protein, some fish, like salmon, wild cod, and some pasture-raised organic chicken, things like that. And maybe he has, like, the type of vegetables in one meal, but it's all, you know, the diet is...
You should be able to tolerate that. That sounds really good. You know, sometimes people actually need a cleanse, right? A week-long green sword smoothie or really, you know, protein powder mixed with juice. Or something that's just a lot less. Give the system a chance.
Yeah.
And that was what happened to me. I was changing my diet. It was getting better. My diet was better, but I still had these periods where I would go into this fatigue and brain fog that I didn't understand. And I did food allergy testing and tried to eliminate that. And it wasn't until I just actually did the cleansing that it made a huge difference. Mm. Which is why I like to start people with the green cleanse or something like that.
Right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
And just let the gut heal by not feeding it for a while, by just giving it good liquid nourishment. That doesn't mean it has to be
really, yeah,
guys, thin. Mm-hmm. It can have, it can be having something with a little bit of fat in it, you know, a nut milk made from soaked stuff, but getting rid of the solids for a little bit, up to 7 days, can be phenomenal.
Okay.
To start from the system.
Yeah. That's what we're going to try. He's traveling again, so that's what we're going to, I haven't talked to him yet. He's going to do a 1 day fast, like a juice fast, kind of liquid fast, and see how that goes. And then when he comes back, we'll suggest like a 3 day or 5 day.
Yeah, start small.
More of a liquid.
You know, and you can do a 3 day, and then he does well, but then he slips back. Then you can do a 5. You know, you can keep playing with it. I know for me, when I did a 5 day fast, it felt phenomenal. And then when I started eating, I was eating too heavily again. It wasn't high allergies.
Okay.
It was just too much. Mm-hmm. Got you down.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think it could be very helpful.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, and
liver gallbladder cleanse, I'm open to that the next time, because that can be a great transition period as well.
Okay. And I was suggesting, I know he's still dealing with gut issues, so I told him if he's going to test, just do the gut first before the adrenal. Because he's,
yeah, again, because you can guess with the adrenals, right? Like, you can guess, okay, based on what he's telling me, he's probably got, you know, some periods where he's high, some periods where he's low. You can usually really examine that. And I'd rather get the sources of the stress down. Does he meditate or do anything like that?
Yeah, he does. He does. Yeah, he does that.
Yeah. Sounds like a great.
So he's trying to, yeah. So he's like, yeah, he meditates, he breathes, he sleeps pretty well, he's pretty, although he's not, you know, doesn't have a work right now, but he said he's keeping himself pretty calm. I think financially he's still okay right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, so we'll go with, I'll suggest we do like a 3 to 5 day fast and see how he feels.
Yeah, that's what I would
do. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks. Bye. Now, Shonda, I saw a note that you had submitted a case. Lynn, do you have it? I didn't see any cases from Shonda. And this isn't a case study call, so we can't do a full case, but we can look at some labs and talk about people, but not like a
full. Yeah, I
did upload it for you. I just put the link in your Skype.
Okay, so you put it in the folder where we've been keeping them, because I'm going to try to find it on my computer.
Yeah, that's,
it doesn't work.
Okay, Shonda, you can talk.
Okay, sorry. I'm driving and I just got you Bluetooth in my car. I had an appointment so late, so I really apologize if this part down.
Okay, no problem.
I think it's the issue with this woman is, we've been working together almost 3 months. She's pretty darn hardcore. She's had all of the allergen that she's meal spacing. She's even doing a little bit of fasting.
I can understand what you said. Orange something?
Orange Theory. It's a gem.
Yes, they have it here in Atlanta.
Yeah, so she's doing really high intense workouts. She bikes rather than drives. Like, she's incredibly active. She's got good muscle tone, and she just is not losing weight. And I cannot figure out what I should do next. And so my thought was that we should now step to doing some testing.
Is she doing glucose testing?
She is not doing glucose testing.
And is she on a reasonably low glycemic diet, or is there still a fair amount?
No.
Okay, that's it. There you go. You know, here's the thing, right? It's really frustrating because I have one that's on a low glycemic diet and still is like plateaued and like, but it's the stress I know with her. But when you have somebody who's, isn't doing the glucose testing, their weight is stuck and they're not eating a super low glycemic diet, then that's the next place to go, right?
No, she is.
Oh, you said she is.
Oh, yeah. She's doing a green smoothie every day, chia pudding, salad, stir fried. She's not doing anything high glycemic.
Not. I'm sorry. Okay. Very hard to hear you, Shonda.
Yeah. Can I say something?
Sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, Orange Theory is very, I don't know the background of this woman, but it's not ideal for somebody who is stressed and is running low in cortisol. It's very high intensity. And what could be happening is, unless you know anything about her stress level, her cortisol levels, you know, Orange Theory is going to be raising that cortisol even more. Insulin is going to go up, blood sugar is going to go up, and she's not going to lose weight, period. So the exercise could be doing her wrong. I would go from that perspective, and maybe if she is willing to do testing, then I would recommend lowering the impact. And Orange Theory is not the answer. They're not going to lower her intensity over there. That's not the kind of gym.
Okay. Then I would say also, you know, with that in mind, that was my next. I thought you had said no. It's very hard to hear you because you're all choppy. But I thought you said no, she's not on a low glycemic diet. But definitely get her to test her blood sugar, because here's the thing. I want her to test the blood sugar before she exercises, and I want her to test it right after she exercises, and then follow it over 45 minutes after she exercises and see what happens. If you see that after she exercises, that blood sugar is up, that's a sign that it's she's releasing cortisol, and that's going to mess her up. That's going to increase the insulin levels, et cetera. So I would definitely be doing blood sugar testing. I'd look at her hemoglobin A1C, look at her fasting insulin, and look at her blood sugar curves, and but measure it with respect to the specific exercise that she's doing, because I think Maria's right on, and that can really be hurting her.
And I would also would look into what she's eating before and after workouts, and how long before and how long after.
Yeah.
She thinks that she's doing well, even if she's putting an apple or whatever it is immediately after, is not helping her either. So it's increasing that blood sugar even more if she's stressed with the workout.
Yeah.
And we've talked about that, but
Yeah, so that, and then testing her adrenals. If, you know, if you get some numbers that look kind of off and she's, you know, when, sometimes when people see it, like I was saying to Cynthia before, I don't jump in and do tests right away unless I see, I understand what impact that's going to have on their compliance.
Yeah.
Right. And then I'm going to be doing testing. So they go, oh, look, you have to do this, because people go, yeah, I heard you say that, but we don't really know if that's me. We don't know if I'm gluten sensitive. We don't know if my blood sugar is a mess. Let's test. You know, even though you might be able to guess, and the more experience you have, the more you can predict what you're going to see. And only when you feel like you need to run labs when it's like, you know, you've been doing everything you know how to do, and here's a case. Like, I would definitely be doing all the blood sugar testing and see where that's at and explain that to her.
Yeah. How is her sleep?
Her sleep is better. She used to not sleep well because she has a lot of hot flashes at night. The hot flashes have stopped.
Good.
Sleeping better. She's doing stress management throughout the day. Like, she's doing everything that I've thrown at her.
That's great.
Hardcore. And she's done this before. Like, she'll go do Weight Watchers in the past and meeting. She said she'd listen to everybody talk about how much they cheated and still lost, and she would follow it 100% and not lose.
Not lose, yeah.
And what time is she going to bed?
Around 10 o'clock.
Okay, 10, that's 11. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that's a puzzling kind of case, but it could be some simple stuff like that. And sometimes there are certain foods that, even though they're on the lower glycemic, will raise. Some people get raised by cashews. Some people get raised by red bell peppers or carrots. So it's really an issue of looking, mapping it out, seeing where it's at, and then going from there. But also, you know, if that does pan out, like, oh, that's perfectly fine, then I'd be looking at the adrenals.
So adrenals is a good one to look at. I think I posted something in our Facebook group. Is the organic acid test any value when somebody's kind of stuck?
I would do these other things first, because I don't think you've explored that enough. And if you've done her fasting insulin, you've done her, and that's normal. Postprandial would be really good, like the 45-minute postprandial insulin. The hemoglobin A1C, and then having her map out her glucose, especially related to food, but also related to the exercise.
Okay.
I would go there before I would go to an organic acid test. Because, you know, you get an organic acid test and it just feels like, okay, I'm going to throw some supplements at her.
Yeah.
Is she doing all the blood sugar supplements, like the chromium and magnesium and things like that?
Everything.
Okay. Do you have berberine?
No, I haven't.
That you might want to add berberine, because that can help. I have people get really good results with maitake tincture right before bed to bring down things, calm things down too. And then, you know, if you know what her blood sugar patterns are, you're going to know better where to intervene too. Like, if you find that she's got that really high fasting in the morning, but it stays steady throughout the day, that's going to give you a different picture than if it's normal in the morning at 85, but then throughout the day it's going up and spiking at 160. And it could be as simple as an apple, right? Like, some people think you're on a low glycemic diet and you only eat low glycemic fruit. Well, when you're really out of an imbalanced state, you can't eat any of that. You have to take it all out temporarily.
Hello?
Hello? Okay. You there, Shonda? Oops.
Getting out of the car.
She's getting out of the car. Okay. Good. Well, let me go ahead and do the the SpectraCell that Chet put in, and then we'll open it up to any questions. You might actually have questions about the SpectraCell. So that'll take me out. Whoops, that's not it. And I think it's this one. Yeah, there we go. Let me get this out of the way. Shrink this a little bit so it fits on the screen, and I will share her screen here. Share screen. Oh, you have some notes too. Somebody's got some noise going on there. Let's go. Who's open? Oh, Maria.
Oh,
there you go. I see it's Starbucks.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. I hear the guys moving around. All right. So can you see my screen? Who's ever not run or not run SpectraCell? Who's never run a SpectraCell or seen a SpectraCell before? Chet,
I have not.
You haven't?
I have not.
You have not? Okay. Shonda might not. And then Isabel, I think, has. But anyway, here we are. So basically, it gives you, it's testing the intracellular, in the white blood cells, the levels of these nutrients. And then it'll tell you deficiencies, borderlines, and normals. And then it does a few ratios, like, you know, to give you blood sugar balancing status, et cetera. What's happening there? Get rid of that. Yeah, so the front page, it says she's got deficiencies in D3, C, manganese, copper, selenium, and K2. And borderline in carnitine, vitamin A, oleic acid, Spectrox, calcium, and immunodex, and cysteine. So it looks like there's some, you know, immune stuff that's borderline. And this is their index, so we'll see what goes into that. Mitochondrial stuff. So if I'm looking at this, I'm going, okay, what kind of things would I predict? You know, not having a health history, I'm like, what kind of things would I predict? Well, D and C, I mean, so certainly the immune system is going to be impacted by low levels of D and C. The thyroid can be, and again, antioxidants, selenium, right? K2, bone, D and K2, bone issues, right? Manganese, connective tissue, superoxide dismutase. So she's got, I'm thinking in terms of what areas are being impacted by this. I'm thinking the bones, the collagen, the thyroid, the immune system, okay? All of those things I'm seeing just by looking at this and going, I wonder if she has any of these issues. And then possible mitochondria because of the carnitine, vitamin A is another antioxidants, calcium bone again, right? And other things, of course. And then cysteine, again, immune system. So immune, bone, thyroid, connective tissue, perhaps, in the antioxidant and anti-inflammatory system. Those are the things I'm thinking that she may have issues with as a result of these deficiencies. So this is their index. So her Spectrox and her immune index is in the yellow, which is the borderline. So let's see if they explain what they do. They explain to you on the first page like what the reference ranges and all are. You can read about that when you do one of these. The Spectrox is overall antioxidant, so she was borderline there. So they grow the cells in the media, they stimulate them to grow, and then they check they increase the free radical production, like throw the free radicals into that and see how well the cells resist oxidative damage. Right? So that's the Spectrox. Let's see the individual antioxidant. Okay, so they're basically testing a bunch of antioxidants, glutathione, cysteine, CoQ10, selenium, vitamin E, alpha-lipoic acid, and vitamin C. They're pre-treating that sample, and then they're going in with the oxidative markers, the free radicals, and seeing what comes out. So that's where some of this other stuff came from. So let's see. So repletion. So this they give you. You can take this with a grain of salt. You can come up with your own. But they're just basically saying what their recommendation based on these results are. This is more of a cookie cutter, but you can adjust it. Like really, 750 milligrams a day of vitamin C. I mean, really, we should be doing more than that in each dose if we really want optimal. Okay. And some of them are reasonable, like the D's. The D is still kind of low. I mean, if somebody has a deficiency, I'm not giving them 1,000. I use a day. I'm going to give them much more. And I would go by blood levels as well. some of these can go by blood. So then they give you the list and, you know, the percent, the control rate, right? So I look at these as well. So I would want like B1 really good, right? Right up at the 78 percentile compared to other people. She's better than 78% of the people. She's in the 99% control rate as far as the levels. That's what I'm targeting for. Some of these others they claim are normal, but I'm saying, huh, maybe her B2 is actually not as good as we would like it to be. Maybe her B6 isn't as good as we'd like it to be. Her B12, not as good as we'd like it to be. See? So, yeah, in any of these, I'm really looking at that. And there's some Bs that are, I would consider borderline based on that. Not according to the test results, but so when I'm working with somebody and they're sick and they've got all these symptoms and they come back with the spectra cell and it comes back perfectly fine, I'm then going deeper and saying, well, you know, there's some other things that are not at an ideal level. Excuse me. So her carnitine is borderline for carnitine, you know, at 46%. Not sure what the, actually not sure how that goes. They have different ranges for each nutrient as to whether they think it's abnormal, because it looks like this is a 37 and it's fine and 42 is not fine. So I'm not sure about that. I usually don't even look at those much. I usually look right at the little charts. Yeah. So basically you can look through and you get a visual graph of where she sits. So not only is it in the good range, but like, okay, B2 is way up at the top. B1 is in the middle. So I'm not sure I understand this page. I'd have to look into this a little bit more, what they're really noting on this, the percent control and the reference range greater than. Because what I see here is that she's greater than 53% on the B2 and 78% on the B1. But over here, I guess it has to do with the ranges that they're expecting for those different ones. So that's why I usually just look at this and I go, okay, she's really good on a lot of these. The Bs look good here. The amino acids look good. The asparagine is starting to get low. Asparagine is really important as an antioxidant, and we can find it in asparagus. We have carnitine, which is low. Carnitine is super important for fat transport into the cells. So we look at that. Oleic acid is kind of low. It's a monounsaturate, but it's also important for some of the brain, the sphingolipids in the brain. Her D3 is very low. Her A looks decent. Her K is low. Manganese is low. Calcium is there in the borderline. Zinc is okay. Copper is low. Magnesium is, it's getting down to the borderline, so I'd be making sure that she's getting a lot of good high magnesium foods. Carbohydrate metabolism, so they compare glucose-insulin interaction. Yeah, it's getting down there, but she's still in optimal range for those numbers. The Spectrox, lower than average antioxidant function. The individual antioxidants, so she's good on the glutathione, not so good on the cysteine, and that's the ones that they test in that Spectrox test or the immune index test, where they're sticking these nutrients in, and it looks like she's decent in the glutathione. Cysteine is basically what they would be doing would be putting the antioxidants in and seeing what the difference is between her cells working on their own and her cells working with the help of glutathione. And if they're close to the same, they're going to say, well, she's good on glutathione. But if they put the oxidation, the free radicals into her stuff, her blood, and they measure the problem with it, and then they say, okay, let me put cysteine in and see how it compares there, and the cysteine actually makes it a lot better, then they're going to assume that she's low in the cysteine. So that's how they get these. So they're coming up with cysteine, selenium, vitamin E, and vitamin C being low. Okay? Let's see. That's her name. And then they describe it. Let's see if they talk at all. So they just give you background information, which you mostly have, but about the specific nutrients and the effects of the deficiency, et cetera. I'm not sure if it explains anywhere what that okay, so here we go. Breaking down the result. Test result, percent control. This column represents the patient's growth response in the test media measured by DNA synthesis as compared to the optimal growth in the 100% medium. Okay, so they put this Okay, so if we look at that then, they're saying that she's at 99% on B1. Functional abnormals. And reference range, this column represents how the patient's results compares to thousands of patients previously tested. So it doesn't mean the general population, it just means the people who have taken this test. And it says the patient's result is considered deficient when it's less than the reference range. Okay, so basically that's why they're different from one to another. Where, as they're saying, greater than 78% was putting them in a good, that's where the ideal reference range was, like 53% was actually not so bad for that one. Like here's 99 and 80%. So it seems to me, as I read this, go back there, that the test result is how well their growth response in the DNA synthesis. So they're measuring DNA synthesis. So they're not actually measuring amounts of the nutrients in the white blood cells, but the response that the white blood cells have. And so the test result is compared to 100%. So they put it in an optimal media. The DNA grows 100%. When they put hers in, her B1 was at 99%. So that to me seems like a more relevant number than the other one, which is comparing it to the reference ranges of people that come in. That's like saying, okay, your TSH is good because it's better than 50% of the people that come in. Well, if all the people that come in are sick, it doesn't mean anything. And two different populations, two different hospitals, labs are going to get different results. So I would say the number I would be more I would find is more relevant is this number over here. Okay. All right. Anybody have questions on that? Was that pretty clear? So the way I usually look at things.
How do you, at which point do you ask these tests or would you test somebody for?
I generally don't use them. It's when, it's usually for me, it's when someone is doing it all right, and they appear to be getting plenty of nutrients in their system, but they're still having symptoms. And then I would run this. I actually would probably run a NutriVal before I would run this, just because it has more widespread. It has the amino acids and the fatty acids and the organic acids plus the nutrients. It's about a $600 test. So I'm, you know.
What is the cost of this one?
The test, yeah, $600.
This SpectraCell is $600.
Yeah.
And what is the NutriVal thing that you said? What is that?
NutriVal is from Genova, and that has vitamins and minerals. It's not this way. They have more functional tests, plus they also have like red blood cells, wherever they found it to be. So serum for vitamin D, red blood cells for magnesium, et cetera. Different things they measure in different compartments based on where it's optimal to measure it. They also do the organic acid test as part of the NutriVal. They do the fatty acid test as part of that. They do amino acids and I think that's it. Metals. I think they do the metals as well.
Oh, that's pretty complete.
It's a very complete, yeah.
It is.
And they're approximately the same price. They make a $50 difference between them, but they're approximately the same.
So, Lynn, could you post the link to that test?
The SpectraCell?
No, the one that you're talking about.
Go to my site. So
Go to your site. Okay.
And we just
it's on the lab testing site.
It's on the lab testing page.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. And the SpectraCell, just Google SpectraCell. You'll see it.
Yeah, no, I got that. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. As much as you would think in terms of the way I approach things that I'm a big tester and I test everybody for lots of stuff, I generally don't. I generally start with correcting things that are wrong. Now, are there people where I do a lot of testing on? Yes. In some cases, it's patient driven because they want to get the test done. They've heard about the test. Or it's driven by the both of us deciding, look, you've been doing all this great stuff for a long time. We have to see what's really going on. And oftentimes we uncover heavy metals. We uncover EBV. We might uncover, you know, some nutrient deficiency that may be genetically driven, right? This person's taking vitamin D or is out in the sun all the time, you'd never suspect, but their D is low. That sort of stuff. And this, I like some of this. I really like the things they do. I mean, I like getting the antioxidants. That's no other, nobody else does that. Like, see how the body actually responds to free radicals. So I think this is very valid. Okay. So that is Chet's. And we could let Chet know that we started that around, I think it was right, like quarter till. So about 45 minutes into the recording. Okay. Stop share. Anybody else?
I can show you some update on my graph. You want to see it?
Sure. Yeah. Oh, let me just add to, Chad, in terms of what you do. I mean, I think you're really just, you have to support your immune system. I would make sure that you're getting your Brazil nuts or taking vitamin selenium. I'd be looking at a K2D supplement to get through this. I'd look at vitamin C. And higher levels than they say, I'm starting with a gram three times a day and moving up from there type person. And then in terms of the other things, the immune, good antioxidant support. So if you want to look at carnitine, you can look at that. You can look at NAC because that'll support your glutathione pathways as well. Yep. Okay. Go for it. Let's see.
Dr. Rita Maria, it's Cynthia.
Yeah.
A clarifying question on D.
Yep.
So we want to have a K2, some K2 in with our D, but if we're high dosing for vitamin D, do we want to use the combo K2 and D?
Nope. I don't. I'm good. I'm fine with that as the base, but if you want to go high D, then I'm having them get a separate D. Great question. Because otherwise you run the risk of too much K.
Right. And then what about A?
Same thing. You can do a KDE. They have them like KDE, KAED or whatever, KEAD. You have all of them. But I would, if they need more D based on the lab results, I'd be upping the D on top of that. I usually, unless they've got some indication, right? We're dealing with a hepatitis and we're going to do a temporary high dose A. I'm generally thinking in the terms of 5,000 to 10,000 on A, because it is, they're fat soluble and you can run the risk of overdosing. And then if they say they're in the midst of fighting off a big viral infection, a flu, they've been exposed to somebody with swine flu or whatever, I'd be doing like 100,000 IUs of A for 5 to 7 days, but only 7 days.
Right.
Same thing with D. You can do 100,000 of D for several days just to get rid of a viral thing. And it works really well.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Thanks.
Yeah, good question.
So, now I got a question out of that. Yeah. So at what limit would you say that is the D and K2 together is safe?
I forget the D. I forget the K. I think K is like 3 milligrams max. Typically what I do with K is I have them go with whatever the dosing is, like the Thorn. I don't remember, Lynn, but you might remember, but the K2D from Thorn, I would go with that as a base, go with whatever the label says is the right dose, and it'll usually say that according to the RDA, and then I would add the D on top of that based on the labs.
Okay, that's good to know. Okay, so it's really, we're talking about really high dose.
And there might be cases where somebody needs high dose K, but the side effects of high dose K are a lot worse than side effects of high dose D. And the range is tighter. In the nutrient module, we talked a lot about the maximum safe dose. And I think the maximum safe dose, the limits, the range, is much wider for D than it is for K or A.
Okay, got it.
Okay. All right. So you were going to
share. Okay, I'll share.
Yeah. Did you get it back from the designer?
Yes, I did, but I have like 20, I'm writing them down. I have, 24 changes. So I'm kind of putting one at a time, but this is the, okay, hold on. Okay, that's, so there's a lot of changes that are going to occur, but in a nutshell, that's what's being produced, but a lot of things, and there's just small things from colors to dip over here to there is misspells and there's organization. and things like that. But yeah, I think it's coming along.
You did a nice job.
Yeah, I think she did a nice job. I love
the little person there sitting there hungry.
Oh, I love, although, you know, you can see this person is also foreign,
that's
right?
Hungry.
Couldn't understand my handwriting. And so, yeah, no, I like it too. And so I think it's going to come out really nice. I want to move all this stuff over here in the top to the bottom as well, so people focus on this first, you know, yes, on what is most important. But this is,
You'll keep it right above, like the point, the arrow. I like the way she did that big fat red arrow pointing down to the P.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, over here. Yeah, so she was kind of creative. This whole thing over here stays. As I'm thinking to move this
that part
on the top, you know, to the bottom, because that's distracting.
Yeah, it's distracting.
I said the main focus is the curve. So below the, you know, put the stuff below. But here is the other thing. Hold on. Here are my marks, so you can see. So I'm writing them down right now for her. I mean, it's a lot of work to go back and forth this stuff.
No kidding.
But it's organized.
But
it's the best way to stay organized, I guess. But here's the other one again. There's going to be changes to this. Let me see if I can zoom this out again. You know, so again, this is not going to be here. This is supposed to be like a mark as an example thing, and this is not going to be, the sleep is not supposed to be like that. Sleep is going to be like just like the fat burning zone, because it's the same kind of thing. You know, so in the colors are just not right. So these are kind of bullets that are just go underneath just as a commentary. But that will show all the cycles, right? So small little changes, but I think this is good. Do you like it so far?
I think you guys, you did a great job. Like, I think you're going to have to get them laminated and then sell.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, this is going to be good. I can put on my gym too. So I already have some stuff on my gym. But okay, so that's it. And here I'll show you something else. Hold on. See if I can share that. Okay, no, that's not it. So, can we go up? We're going to give you an update. Okay, there's a lot of stuff over here. Okay, so that's the update.
Oh, that's
right
now. Your home gym.
Yeah, that's a little, it's almost
done. Is it
done.
A garage? Oh, yeah.
It's in? Garage? Yeah, it's in my garage, yes. Over here on the right, on the left of the mirror is going to be my chalk. I'm going to paint a kind of chalk paint so I can write stuff on it.
Nice.
So that's how things are organized.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so you can see a little bit of my blood sugar. Oh, let me see. I put a board.
This is your office, basically. Turned your garage into an office, basically.
Oh, yeah, for that purpose, yes.
I love it.
Let me see if I can move this. So over here on the right.
Yeah.
I have a little bit of, you know, some people. I saw this note on the right on the internet the other day, and I thought it was perfect, so I wrote it down over here. But anyway.
Oh, yeah, so, I saw that. Did you post that somewhere?
I thought I did.
Yeah,
I did.
First
I know.
Learning.
So I thought it was perfect.
Eyes. I love it.
Yeah, so that reminds people.
Love it.
Let me see. So that's
lovely.
And the last thing is this board over here in the back.
Yeah.
So that's 4.5 by 3 that I'm actually going to design something to put on the wall that has the company logo, a website, and phone number, and then photos on the side of the business that will kind of maybe four that will reflect all I do. So when we're filming, then it's going to get that on the background, you know. So then people will, they don't have to, you know, I don't have to say much of it because the photos will signify or, you know, what I do. And then every time we do a video, then it's going to be popping at least the name of the company or the logo and showcasing that stuff.
I love
so,
it.
That's it.
I love it. Are those just little mats on the floor?
Yes, and I'm about to get a few more. Yes, they're very thick. They're like very typical of CrossFit gyms that you can drop, you know, weight. Because if you can see, let me see. If, oops. So you see those weights over here?
Yeah, they're heavy.
This is the kind of weight that you can drop on the floor. They're like 10, 15, 25, 30 pounds.
Yeah.
But they're rubber. And so if you're lifting heavy, and you can drop it, and it's okay. Nothing breaks. There's no iron or anything like that. So I normally buy them used, and I don't need any more right now. I have plenty. My clients cannot lift that heavy, but when I lift, then I can.
Mm-hmm. But you do have those. So, those are the things you were telling me about, the rings.
Oh, yeah, the rings, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I have bands, so, you know, people can do pull-ups. So my client was doing some pull-ups today, so you do banded pull-ups, so you can actually do them.
Nice.
So that's an update.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I'll stop sharing over here, but I'll let you know. I'll send to my designer the changes to my thing, and when you're back, you'll see. Let me stop sharing.
Perfect. Awesome. Good job.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited. I'm excited about this. Last night I was putting some things together. I'm like, oh man, it's going to be fun.
Fantastic. Know is new opportunities. I love that.
Yeah, exactly. Know is new opportunities. That's exactly right.
Okay. So Lynn just put in about, if you take 10K of D, and I'm assuming you meant 10,000 because you left off with zero, but you had the comma in the right place as opposed to 1,000. Keep the K as MK7 at 45 micrograms. Yeah, that sounds reasonable. That sounds reasonable. Okie dokie. Anybody else? Questions, comments?
Dr. Maria, I would have a question if we still have time.
Sure. What time is it? Yeah, we have a couple more minutes.
So we were talking about John Swack's Great Plains Oats.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember when it was, but it seems like yesterday, but I feel like it was last week. Yeah, maybe it was this.
Yeah.
Anyway, we didn't get to his ketones on the oats test, and I just resent it to you on the coaching.
Yeah, email. So here's what I say about ketones.
Okay.
I want the ketones high. So when I see ketones high on the Great Plains, I'm like, yes. Because we want them to be more in burning fat than in burning sugar.
Mm.
Yeah, so the beta-hydroxybutyrate and the others that they show there. I don't have a concern, unless it's like through the roof, absolutely crazy. And then, you know, but they're not going to get, you're not going to get them into ketoacidosis. It is a good idea, and I love Dr. Anna Kabeka's work on this, is the whole concept of ketoalkaline. And the problem with people getting into ketosis is they tend to get too acidic. So she talks, you know, more about the lots of veggies and getting them in there and having them measure their ketones. And she actually has strips where you can do the ketones and the pH on the same strip. But you're actually looking for ketones to be there, which is a good.
So it's 3-hydroxybutyric is like at 10. When it should be less than 1.9.
Okay.
And acetoacetic is 17 when their range is saying less than 10.
Yeah. And some people actually supplement with those, just so you know.
He's not.
No, he's not. But I'm saying, because it's desirable to get into that state. So the average overweight, insulin resistant American.
Yeah.
Has them in the ranges on that chart, right? If we can get them out of that range and also still keep them in an acidic, and not out of an acidic state, but in an alkaline state, then you're actually doing them good.
Okay.
So I wouldn't worry about that. I would say that's a good thing.
Oh, interesting.
Put people on low glycemic diets, that's what we see.
Yeah, I just can't explain it because he's not on a low glycemic diet.
Oh, he's not.
He's not on low glycemic.
Oh.
He's one with the muscle wasting and candida through the
roof.
Yeah,
and I would say that that's an issue because he's wasting, and it could be related to the insulin resistance. Did you say he's diabetic or pre-diabetic?
Don't know. don't know, his last fasting glucose was 106, and he's been on prednisone, so we haven't gotten a clean hemoglobin A1C. But he reported neuropathy on his legs, not on his feet or hands, but that was just in a recent email. So it's just concerning because I can't explain it. And he's the one going to Mayo, and he has a high CK and the funky genes.
So he's not on a high fat, low carb diet.
No.
Okay. Spurious ketoacidosis. Yeah, so I would be looking closer at all the blood sugar stuff, because he may be in a ketoacidosis state or close to it. If he's getting there without restricting, that could be a problem.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and do you know anything about how long he needs to be off the prednisone before he gets an accurate?
No.
They're saying like, I think he told me yesterday 30 days, and it's so crazy. He's going to Mayo Clinic for all this stuff before he's been off the prednisone for 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, they will know. I mean, they're the experts. I'm, you know, the drug stuff I learned ages ago. I know the general stuff, but it's just not something that I really.
You know, okay. But this is an area where, you know, could be contributing to
definitely could.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, there's definitely an imbalance there. Somehow he's going into a state of you said muscle breakdown, so you know, when you're breaking down tissue, you're going to release fat, you're going to be burning fat.
Yeah.
And that's not a normal state for, it's a normal state if you're on a low carbohydrate, high fat diet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And as long as you stay in the alkaline side of it with lots of veggies, then you don't get into trouble.
Yeah.
Well, it's an area that needs more research for sure. But okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Poor guy.
A lot going on with this guy.
Yes. But like I said, you know, I did move the meter yesterday, thanks to all the great coaching from you. And then,
I really think he has a lot more control over this than he thinks he does.
Well, and he did say that maybe when he gets back from Mayo, he will commit to doing a really stricter, is his word, eating protocol. So, yeah.
You know, I think we need to get to the point where people understand that a good eating protocol is not optional, it's mandatory. It's not something you can do and use drugs and get well. It is mandatory. It's totally mandatory.
Well, and it's not punitive, you know.
Oh, God, no.
I tell people, you know, I try to go in capitalizing on the good, what they're doing right, and just kind of upgrading their foods. And you're having a lot of success, as opposed to saying, here's the diet you need to eat. But let's find out what you love to eat, and then let's upgrade that for a couple of weeks. And then the switch to, okay, no gluten and no dairy, including cheeses, right?
Can you do to substitute, right? And what can, you know, that's why I think doing like what you do, the demos and stuff, but doing that even more so than just the fermented food, if you can incorporate your fermented food with some other, like, you know, how do you get rid of gluten type things and how do you get rid of dairy and like these amazing foods, they go, oh, I can do that. Oh, it tastes delicious. It tastes phenomenal.
Yeah. Yes. And the spiralizing vegetables, noodles are having a lot of success with that this summer too. So
yeah. And the bread, I've got some onion bread that we made. Actually, a friend of mine made it for me a few weeks ago from one of our recipes on the Raw Food University thing. And it's the squash onion bread. Oh my God. I mean, I make sandwiches.
I've tried that.
Sandwiches.
Where is that though?
It's in. It's a class we called gluten-free bread. And I don't know if you guys have access to it or not. I mean, we give you most everything. We probably don't give you every single thing, but, But if not, it's like $20 or $27 or something on the site. And it's a 3-hour video with all these bread recipes, and they're all gluten-free breads. And those are
good. Oh, God, I need
to know about to send your, again,
not for me.
Affiliate. What's that?
No, I said, I need that. I don't get much.
You should
bread,
probably
but,
all have that.
Oh, you think that? Yeah. Oh, yeah, don't we give that as a gift? Yeah, go in, log into the VLM side of the site and look under Raw Food University and you'll see it. Yeah, we have so much stuff there that we should be letting people know and selling it and making money on it and, you know, funding my college, my kids' college educations with, but.
I wanted to say something about that, about the client over there that Cynthia's have. I don't know if this will work with your client, but when they start using the words strict, when they start saying the words, know this, know that, I really don't like it. I don't like to use those words. I like to say, look, you're going to make a list over here of food that you really love it. And foods that you think that would be hard for you to let it go. And then we're going to learn how to substitute them, replace them. I don't like to use know this, know that, know that. It's that we're going to replace this with more nutrition.
Swap, so
whatever you want to call it. But I would, this is strict thing, I would start removing that from his head. I says, oh, look, when you come back, you're not going to be doing a strict thing. You're going to do a healthy option kind of template. I don't like to call diet either. I like to call nutrient template, nutrition template.
That's nice.
And I said, look, this is something for your lifestyle. It's not a diet. I don't want you to think of diets up and down. Let's eliminate that. This is your life, and that is full of nutrition. And you use the food for your fuel in the body. So I think I start taking the negativity out of this diet stuff, out of his life, you know, by replacing, asking him what he loves, and then helping him to build things like, okay, he loves the bread, okay, give him recipes for that, love the pasta, it's a recipe for that, simple stuff for guys.
Yep.
Right. That's what I would do.
I love it. And it's all a matter of just really meeting them, because if they go through the whole thing as deprivation, and next we're going to give up this, and next we're going to give up that, right? That's why we create all these amazing classes that we do, because it's like, let's have fun with food, right? Let's just go in the kitchen and see how can I take all this beautiful stuff that comes and grows in the earth and turn it into these amazing meals that just, you know, titillate my taste buds,
right?
Don't make me feel deprived. Because I mean, I haven't had bread, and that was my favorite food in the world. I'd sit there and I'd roll it up in balls and eat the little balls. I mean, it was really gross.
Me too. I did the same thing. Oh my God, I loved it.
Bread. Yeah. Anyway, but this whole thing, that bread class, I mean, we should just do a big fire sale on the bread class, and I bet a lot of people would buy it. You know?
Oh yeah, you would sell a lot of that. I mean, you would sell a ton.
Or upsell, you know, when I log them in. For something and say, hey, would you like to learn how to make all these great breads? And then I can have a picture. I've taken pictures of my sandwiches. I do open face sandwiches or I do closed. And I just take the bread and I stack it up and it's got the sprouts and the pretty, you know, colors. I don't know.
Yeah. Look, you sell a lot of that. You will sell a lot of that.
A lot of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. People are looking for, because they keep the same name. Are you keeping the name? You know, bread. Just like cauliflower rice, you're talking about the rice, you know.
With the pictures of the cheese. So for people who are in that, go look at that. They're real easy to make, and you can slice them and, you know, put it on top of your bread. And I mean, so all kinds of crazy stuff you can do with this food.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so good. I'm ready for lunch.
Sign up as an affiliate. And then go ahead and send these links. Like, really explore our site of those things that we have, and then just send links to people and you'll get commissions on it. Passive income in the background.
Cool. Very cool. I'm going to look up that onion squash right away.
Yeah. And you know, if you have a mailing list, you know, as you build mailing lists and you want to connect with people, you can always, you know, you can use things. You can use other people's programs to create revenue streams for yourself and also interest level. And so, hey, I've got this great, I've just discovered I started making these breads and it's really cured me of my bread habit. You might have some interest in this as well. You send it and then you make commissions. You know, while you're building up your own clientele and building up your own revenue streams, you might as well use resources from people already done it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that because it's me. I mean, there's plenty of people who have affiliate programs you can use too.
And where do we go sign up as an affiliate, Dr. Rita Marie?
You just go to drritamarie.com. Uh-huh. On the upper right-hand side, it'll say affiliate sign in or sign up.
Okay.
And just sign up there, and then we'll send you emails. And then if you have any questions about how to do it, when you get there, there's going to be a page that has all the different programs that you can support. And then you can go, you know, there's a link to get into the back end where you can see all the links. It's a little confusing back there, so all you have to do is say, hey, I want to sell this right into my help desk. I'm an affiliate, and I want to sell this. Send me credit, and somebody will send you your link.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Okay.
Cool. Yes. Thank you.
Fantastic. All right. Maybe we should do a PBSS show on affiliate marketing.
Yes. That'd be good.
You should probably just send a Facebook traffic to that thing. Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you.
Enjoy your time off.
Thanks. Oh,
didn't you do something with somebody?
Say it again. Yeah, Lynn, you were like, you know, Darth Vader or something.
I had said, didn't you do who's
didn't I do something? What something?
That would be funny. Rita Marie, I am your other.
What's that?
Can you type it in, Lynn?
Yeah, type it in. Because it sounded like she, didn't you do something?
You did a PBSS or some a program with.
Not on affiliate marketing. There's one in my. I mentioned affiliate marketing in one of those six modules that I have up there.
I can't hear you, Lynn, if you're talking.
Yeah, type it in, Lynn.
Yeah. Oh, she.
Yeah, JVs are very different than affiliate marketing. JVs were like, hey, Maria, you have a fitness program, and I have a health program, a nutrition program. You know, I'll tell my audience about your fitness program. You tell my audience about my nutrition. That's more of a JV thing, or you get together and you put a program together. Affiliate is just, you find some products you really like. I love Sun Warrior, you know, protein powder. I get an affiliate link and I send it out and I say, hey, sign up, you know, and I make a shake and I have a link to that and people buy it and I get a commission. That's what the affiliate means. Yeah. Yeah. Rich German. That's JVs. That's called, totally. That's different. It sounds like it's similar, but it's different. Very different. Okay.
Cool. Yeah. Have a great vacation.
Bye-bye. Have a good one.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye.